let me get the regular agenda in front of me here. Welcome, everybody. I'm going to call to order the regular meeting of the Port of Sayulsa.
Recording in progress.
We're going to call to order the regular meeting of the Port of Sayulsa. We have present Terry Duman on remote. We have CZ present, Rob Ward present, and Mike Buchwald present. So we have a full complement of commissioners. Do we have anybody sign up either in person or remotely for public comment? Okay, then we're going to bypass the public comment section, and we're going to write to item 2, discussion with Rivian. Are you Scott?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we have Scott, let me pronounce his Altman. Remotely.
Yeah. Altman. Altman. It's German. It means old man.
Ah. Yes.
You're not there yet.
Well, that's funny. Each year I get older.
Yeah. Okay. What we're going to do here today is we're going to discuss the possible agreement with Rivian. Scott, why don't you just kind of give us an overview of. And we've been through this once before, of what you're proposing, and then we're gonna have a little give and take on some questions on certain areas.
Yeah, that sounds good. So just a quick little background. The reason why I'm joining today is because Shannon was temporarily reassigned on another project, on another team for this month. So I've stepped in to help manage some of the partnerships and customers that she was talking with. So if there's questions that or context that I don't know, please be patient with me because I'm still being brought up to speed a little bit on it.
Okay.
But as far as I'm aware for this particular project, this is obviously going to be a direct partnership with the port, with you all. The project consists of one dual port level 2 charger, a Rivian Waypoints charger, station, and it looks like it's on sort of the water side of the parking lot next to the ADA stalls, and that looks like a wooden deck walkway. Yeah. The partnership structure is Rivian owned and operated, which means that Rivian would come in and cover all the capex, provide a turnkey service, cover all operating costs, and just manage and maintain the charging stations for the port.
Okay.
Does that about sum up the project?
Yeah, I think that's our understanding. So let's start with first critical point, location of the site. We are not comfortable giving up the waterfront sites there for this if we enter into this agreement. And we're talking about a site that would require running a cable under about 30 feet of asphalt to pick up some sites that are not quite as premier for parking as those waterfront sites. So I don't know whether that's a deal breaker for you guys or not. I don't imagine it's that much more expensive to bore underneath. I don't think you'd have to remove asphalt, but I'm not an expert on boring. But that would be the first point that we need to clarify.
Can I ask a question real quick on that?
You bet.
So I think I heard two things there. One is the potential for moving the location of the existing dedicated parking stalls to another spot.
Yes.
So I want to get clarification to ask where else you had in mind. And then the second thing is it sounds like the preference from a construction perspective is to bore, do directional boring, as opposed to trenching, which obviously would be a little bit more disruptive to that parking lot.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to specify how you would do it. My main point is that we have alternate sites that are more favorable to the community than utilizing the waterfront sites.
If we go just over on the First Street side, there's the entrance that comes in off of First Street, where Oak Street comes into First Street,
yeah.
And on the Oak Street side, the north side, there's two spots, and they're right next to a telephone pole.
Yeah, right now.
So the power's there.
Okay. So we're open. Go ahead,
Scott.
Can
I share my screen? Or could you share your screen? I can share my screen as well. I don't know if you have the drawing up in front of you, just so I can get a better feature.
We would have to send you.
Yeah, go
something.
Ahead. Go ahead and share your screen, then we can kick it around.
Okay. It says the host disabled participant screen sharing. I don't know if you're able to.
Kelly's working on that right now. There we go.
There we go.
Okay. So we are sharing screens right now. Now we just need some pretty pictures.
Oh, it looks like you're sharing your screen. I'm unable to share mine. Oh. But if we could go to Google and just type in the address,
can you point out where you have mine. Can you go online?
Okay, hang on a minute. We've got a side discussion going.
Yep, no worries.
He's still not able to share his.
We can share ours, though.
Okay, do we have something we can share with him?
Can we just go to Google Maps and pull up the address, I think we could.
That would work, too.
Perfect.
Google Maps, yeah. That's fine. That'll work.
Thanks. Appreciate it. And the drawing I have on my end, it's not that pretty, so we're not missing much.
Yeah, telephone pole right there.
Yep.
And this is where they were proposing.
Yep. So right there's power available right there.
Just for a second.
Let me get out of the way.
So where do you want me to go here?
Go to Google Maps.
Google Maps.
And then
see, this is where they were proposing.
Yeah. Right.
And satellite there's a power pole right there.
Okay.
Well, that's probably a whole lot more convenient anyway, right there.
All right.
Yeah, that looks good to me.
Okay, I'm on Google Maps.
You're on Google Navigation. We need Google Earth.
See,
pardon me.
This is where they're
proposing. We want Google Earth,
which is right on the water.
Sorry, we'll get our act together here.
And they can go right over here where you have Oak Street and the parking lot.
Yeah, there we go.
And there's a power pole right there.
Yeah, that's perfect, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good place right there.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just about there, Scott.
Yeah, I see it loading.
We'll see how quickly Billy Gates is working this evening.
And we're just talking.
All right.
And there's power there.
What address am I putting in, Rob?
Just put in Florence, Oregon, and then go.
Yeah, just go to Florence, Oregon. Just type in Florence, Oregon.
And then you can go over.
You can figure it out real quick from that.
80 Harbor Street.
I'll search.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
That'll take you to it. Here we go, around the world.
Okay. There we go. Yeah, now go down
now
there.
Just zoom in a little more and go down to the port parking lot.
Click down on the a little lower.
Yeah.
Or a little lower. Right there. Now keep clicking until you expand that one. There you go. There you go. Keep going. Okay, we're almost there. Let's go a little bigger. There you go. All right. Hang on. Right there.
Right.
Okay. Okay, now let me show you what you originally proposed.
Go ahead, Bill.
Right here. You see right here is what you're originally talking about.
Yep, exactly.
Now, what we would propose is either these spots right here, or if you wanted to use this power pole, come under this and grab some of these here.
Okay. But there's a power pole right there on the first.
There is a power pole right here on this drop. So if we were to do this, we would like initially to have these sites considered. But we want to these sites. I didn't do that.
It's okay. I got my bearings. I know where you're.
Okay.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the one issue. But another issue, we just had a discussion among ourselves. You're talking about a level two charger, which Rob and I kind of went to school on that. On a typical electric vehicle, it's going to give you about 25 miles per hour of charge on a level two. And we were told that a level three is extremely expensive. And that is not part of the discussion at this point. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So the way that we sort of identify sites that would be good fit is, you know, there's a lot of different site-specific information, and then there's market data and, you know, a variety of other variables. One of those things is that we take into consideration is dwell time. And so, you know, folks that I talk to that, let's say they own a Starbucks, right, or a coffee shop, where the average dwell time for the majority of the customers there are probably, you know, anywhere from 10 to, you know, 20 minutes.
Okay.
Because they're just going in and out, right? Okay. A level 3 charger or DC fast charger probably would make more sense for that type of location than perhaps like a movie theater or a port or somewhere where the dwell time is much longer, right?
Okay.
So you put a fast charger in your parking lot at a port, but I'm not sure what level of utilization you would get. And you might end up in situations where, and this is just speaking from experience of what I've seen in the past, is that if you go to like a Tesla supercharger bank at a shopping mall, shopping malls make sense, right, for level 2 for because people are spending longer periods of time shopping.
Okay.
But they put fast chargers there anyway to help attract more people to that location. But if you go to a Tesla supercharger bank, you're going to see probably 80% of the people sitting in their car charging. And the idea, part of the value of providing charging stations, especially level 2 charging stations, or at least charging stations that make sense for that specific location, is to incentivize the person to go there because the charging's there, to get access to that amenity, but actually get out of the vehicle and utilize the space for what that space is intended for. And so that's why I think level 2 probably makes the most sense for this location. But I would lean on you gentlemen to educate me on what the average dwell time is for this location.
It's, well, we haven't really discussed that. That's I never considered the charger
as a draw.
As a draw, I've never considered that. We're packed on this place all the time.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I never considered that as a.
I hadn't either.
Yeah. So I mean, I appreciate that information, but I've never considered the chargers to be there.
Yeah.
I've always considered seeing a lot of. Well, I don't know how many, but seeing more than I have in past electric vehicles and no place to have them charge. And I've had several people, 4 to be exact, in town that own cars like that, and they tell me that, you know, if you guys ever do that, you need to do the fast charger so we can get people in and get them out. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and it does make sense to a degree. It's just that what's our purpose?
Right.
His is a Chamber of Commerce position.
Yeah, I hear that.
But the other day, my daughter drove down in her new Tesla, and she had to go back to Newburgh, and fortunately, she didn't have to go back that day, but she needed enough charge to at least get her back to Eugene or well beyond. So I took her to my shop, and we plugged it in overnight, and I guess we're looking at what is the future going to require, and what let me tell you about a panel I sat in on that ODOT sponsored, and ODOT is going to be the flow through for federal funds for the charging highways, and they put out a map and they showed where ODOT is proposing these charging stations. They're talking about fast charging, and they had them along I-5, and then they had them on a corridors down coming to the coast from Lincoln City and so forth. So, in your estimation, what's the how soon are we going to have a full-scale federal program that are going to be sponsoring these sites, and are we missing the boat by not? And I hate to put you on this spot, but this is what we're talking about. Are we missing the boat by not waiting for the federal program to kick in and put in the fast chargers? Because everybody I talk to would like the fast charge, but that's not.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I heard you. There was some background noise, and I missed part of the question. But I think what you're telling me is, what I'm hearing is that the Oregon Department of Transportation is putting together like an EV readiness plan and trying to use access the federal funds coming from, I'm assuming it's NEVI, the NEVI funds for DC fast charging. And part of the requirements is that it has to be within, I think, a mile of like a major highway corridor. So if your property does qualify for that funding for DC fast charging, I wouldn't steer you away from doing that. But what I would say is that the majority right now, if not all the funds coming from the federal government for EV readiness programs are focused on fast charging, not level 2 charging.
Okay.
And so there wouldn't be any sort of like exclusivity where if you put in a couple of Rivian Waypoint level 2 chargers in this parking lot, that doesn't mean that you can't go after and access federal funds from, or federal funds or state funds that might help you support putting in DC fast chargers.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say don't do that. I'm still not entirely yet convinced, just because of my own lack of education, that DC fast charging would make sense here for this specific location. So, I mean, another thing to think about from as far as dwell time and the user experience is the person that's coming there, obviously they're staying there a longer period of time than like a DC fast charger would make sense.
Yes.
But one of the gentlemen mentioned a situation where their daughter was coming in from out of town.
Yes.
And could utilize maybe a fast charger if she had needed to leave that day.
Yes.
So the other question that I would ask, and maybe for you all to, you know, talk amongst yourselves after this call, is the folks that are going to this location, visiting this location, are they typically from out of town, hundreds of miles away, or are they primarily local folks that are, you know, driving 30 to 50 miles? Because if that's the case, level 2 chargers still make sense from a user experience perspective.
Okay.
Because if they're there for an hour or two, you know, you can get, you know, 50 to 60 miles on a charge, depending on the type of vehicle that you have.
Okay.
And top off whatever it took you to get there and to get back home. So that's...
Hang on a minute. We got some background.
Ask Jeff to mute.
Who's Jeff?
Jeff Hill.
Who's Jeff Hill?
He came in.
He's muted now. Okay. All right. He's observing.
He's been to several meetings.
So we can't.
Everybody knows.
Okay. But you can't. Okay. I thought we admitted people, and they're automatically muted. Okay, I didn't realize. Okay, all right. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, so just the last thing that I would say about when you're thinking about the difference between a fast charger and a level 2, one thing to think about is what does accessibility mean to the commissioners, right? So if you put in just fast charging, currently right now only about, I think, 35% of the plug-in vehicles on the road can even take a fast charge. So there's a whole host of cars
that can't
take a fast charge that then wouldn't be able to utilize the fast chargers at that location.
Okay.
So the point that I'm making is I wouldn't steer you away from going after any funds that help support with DC fast charging.
Okay.
What I would say is if you are going to do DC fast charging at a location, it should always be accompanied by level 2 chargers. That way, you're providing chargers that are going to be accessible to any vehicle that has a plug on their car, whether it's a plug-in hybrid or a full EV.
Okay. Let me answer your question, and I will let the other commissioners correct me if my observation is wrong. Most of our visitors, and it'll occur if there's hot weather in Eugene and we have a cool breeze here in Florence, and our parking lot in the summertime will fill up for people that are escaping the heat in Eugene. And I think a majority of the people coming over in that case are from Eugene. Wintertime, when it's Foggy Bottom in the Willamette Valley and we have sunshine here, our parking lot can fill up again with visitors from Eugene. So they would require a couple of 3 hours to charge to get back to Eugene. And they come here in our parking lot and they visit Old Town. They visit the restaurants, they walk through the shops, they go over to Jay's Market. I think this is the pattern. I live right in the heart of it, so I get to observe that. So in that regard, the Chamber of Commerce effect, namely keeping people around and maybe letting them wander even another hour or two in Old Town, would probably be a benefit for the commerce in town. It wouldn't necessarily benefit. Jeff, are you still muted? Can you mute, Jeff? Are you all right, Jeff?
Oh. Must be muted.
Okay, apparently he's muted. So sorry about that.
It's okay.
So I personally can see the point, and you're not in this at this point in time. You're not offering the level three anyway. We're talking about a level two and whether it makes sense for the port. And to complete my thought, and you guys jump on. It isn't necessarily going to be a benefit for our camping customers, not necessarily, but it's going to be a benefit to the businesses in Old Town, yeah. And one of our responsibilities is for economic development. Rob?
Yeah, I'm in favor of having you guys come in and put your stations in there, and I don't feel like, and I'm fine with us providing the space, personally, and letting you collect whatever you collect for the charging, and I'm fine with the level two charging stations because I think it would be good PR for the port relative to the community, and we're not giving up a big deal. One of my biggest concerns is within the context of the lease, we have to keep those charging stations open for access. As part of our agreement, well, how does that happen in roadie days when, you know, that we have roadie days every year where that whole parking lot is full of a carnival, and there's that parking would no longer be available at that point in time.
1 week's period, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, that would have to be dealt with within the framework of the lease.
You mind if I ask
we have a carnival that leases that whole parking lot for 1 week every year, so.
Oh, I wouldn't be. Yeah. I wouldn't be entirely concerned about that.
Well, I was reading the lease, and
no, you're, within, I mean,
item number 13 on your lease talks about that.
So that language would have to be massaged.
Yeah.
I think you're right. What I meant by I wouldn't be worried about that, as in I don't think that we would have an issue with maybe And if we all kind of come to an agreement, think that this could still be a good fit, and we kind of want to work through things, if you provide suggested language in that section to say, like, yes, it will be open, you know, accessible to the public, except for, you know, these instances. And I think that that would be a good starting point to come to terms with the language that I think we would both be fine with. Yeah. But it's a good call out.
Yeah. Other thing we've discussed, crew, was the length of the contract and the extension of the contract. What the current language, reading it today, is 10 years with with 6 automatic 3-year extensions, no. Or no, 3 automatic.
I think it was 3 automatic.
3
10-year.
3. Okay.
No, 3 3-years each.
Okay. Yeah, 3 3-years.
So it's a total of 19 years.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what I recall too.
And that was of some concern to us, if I remember. Is that still an issue?
The biggest concern is a unilateral termination of the contract. What's up with that? So on number 7, the term. What does it say? 60 days prior written notice that you can terminate for any, you know, any reason? Without penalty or anything at all?
Yeah, so this is standard language that we have when we have partnership structures where Rivian is providing 100% of the, or covering 100% of the cost from the CapEx and the OpEx. And so if something were to happen that, I don't know, prevented us from recouping that cost, or I don't know what the circumstance would be, we haven't run into that yet. It's a way to allow us to make that determination on being able to leave a contract without penalty. Okay. On the flip side, for our site hosts in these types of partnerships, because we're paying for the because we're paying for all the CapEx and OpEx of this, we want to ensure that we have enough time to make back, at a minimum, that investment. And usually that's amortized over a 10-year period. So that's the explanation of why there's an initial 10-year term. But I think we could be flexible on the renewal aspect. If the renewal aspect was too rigid in its language, or it renewed for too many years after the initial term, I think that's something that we can be flexible with.
What's the feeling? I can live with the 10 years, and I see his point about recouping the... And the language says that if you guys do terminate, you come in and restore the site, remove the equipment, restore the site.
We would uninstall the chargers. We would leave the infrastructure in the ground for you. So if we did remove the chargers and you wanted to put in different chargers, you can just, all the infrastructure is already there. So that's sort of an investment that we make in your property.
Okay.
By putting in that infrastructure for EV charging. So even if it's after 10 years, if for whatever reason that we don't have a relationship anymore, we would pay on our own dime to go in and remove the charging stations, but we would leave that, obviously, the infrastructure. We're not going to tear up the ground to pull out the conduit that's there, but all that would already be make ready for another charging unit if you wanted to do that.
Okay. And there isn't any non-compete language in this agreement. In other words, if we pick another couple of sites that we wanted to put level 2 charges on, we still allow those sites that we've committed to you. I didn't see any non-competes in there. Is that correct or not?
That's a good question, because I know that Shannon had sent over 2 agreements, and some language has changed in the most recent one that she sent you.
Okay.
What I would say is if there is exclusivity language in there, all that we would probably ask for or be sort of more rigid on is making sure that there's perhaps a one stall buffer between our stall and where you might put another charging unit. We just wouldn't want You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if there is exclusivity for preventing another level 2 charger to go into the location, would you guys be comfortable with maybe a rights of first refusal language? Where maybe it's not an exclusivity, but if you are going to add another level 2, maybe you just come to us first and be like, and give us an option to give you a proposal for adding additional level 2.
Yeah, we can certainly have language like that. But I want you to understand, you probably know, our parking lot is rather a large site. So in terms of separating the two suppliers, in fact, it would probably make more sense if we came in with not put them necessarily right next to it, unless we came to you and say, and I don't know if you're doing this anywhere, where you put in a dual like you're talking about, and then come back a year later, the infrastructure's already there, you put in a second couple of set, because we have got quite a bit of space in our parking lot.
Right. That's a good question. You know, it's something that we've talked about, at least something that I think about. We call that future-proofing. So if we're looking at starting as a phase 1 for one dual-port charger, if we're already going to be out there, we might consider adding in enough power or conduit that's stubbed out to maybe the stalls next to it and see, what happens, what kind of utilization do we get over the first, 1 to 2 years. And if over time the utilization grows and grows, then there's perhaps a business case or utilization case to add an additional charger. And like you said, that infrastructure is already there. The challenge that I would face internally is just convincing my leadership that we could do that within budget to add in the additional make-ready. But I don't know what those cost implications would be. I'd have to connect with, obviously my leadership and my pre-construction team.
Well, I'm not bragging, but I will brag a little bit. This is a very popular site. This is a very large parking area that, in essence, supplies all of the Old Town businesses for the most part, because there is limited parking at most of the businesses. And that parking lot, I don't know what number of days it's totally full, but there are days when that lot is totally packed, both winter and summer, again, depending on the weather conditions. Guys, additional questions? We might, what, the language on the renewal, Mike? What, 10 years and then work on the, I mean, we're like, right now we're looking at 19 years.
That's a long time.
I'm not going to be here in 19 years. So it really doesn't
matter. But you can't bail on us, Mike. You still have to.
I just wonder what recourse we have if they don't work and we call and they don't get fixed.
Yeah, oh, that's, well, let's ask that question.
That's because one of the that's the reason I asked the question I didn't get the answer to.
Okay,
is
ahead.
What is the reason for them terminating? It's a unilateral termination clause. I don't see it. I don't see if we're dissatisfied with your service. And it's easy for you to say because you work for them and your job is to sell us on this, or part of your job is to sell us on this. So, you know, I don't know this company from Adam. I don't own an electric car, and I probably won't. I mean, if I have it my way, I probably won't.
I don't own one either.
But
the
point is that what if we become unsatisfied? I know we're not making any money on this. And I know that you're putting an investment into it. We're also reserving two spots for you, and et cetera, et cetera. But if you don't maintain those things for whatever reasons, we don't have any option. It doesn't sound like
I think the language says
that. What is the recourse, or what in the, I'd have to go back and read through it again. But Scott, how is that handled? Let's say. Something happens and
somebody runs there, into one.
Yeah, somebody backs into one and knocks it over, and of course there's their insurance would take care of that. But
yeah.
How do you guys respond? I think Mike asks a great question. What level of service can you guarantee you'll provide so that we aren't going to have something there that's not working for a month?
We have our SLA, our service level agreement, and that kind of outlines what the expectation should be for the site host. I'll talk to Shannon and see if we can put something together and send it over to you so you can take a look at it. But Mike, is that your name, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mike Buchwald. Commissioner Buchwald was asking that. Yeah.
Commissioner Buchwald. Sorry. Apologies.
No, that's all right. heavy on the mist, heavy on the mist around here.
I gotta put respect on your name. You know, I think that your concerns are valid. I will say that I agree with you. What I would suggest is, in your first round of red lines, add in whatever language that you feel you would be comfortable with, you and the other commissioners be comfortable with. And then I can connect with my legal team and risk team and evaluate to see what makes the most sense and where we can maybe meet in the middle.
Okay.
I just, you know, we could go down kind of a rabbit hole, like what happens if this happens or that happens or this happens. I'd rather you guys kind of put together what you feel comfortable with, and then we use that as a starting point and see where we can maybe meet in the middle.
Well, Scott, Mike, I'm going to kind of turn that around because I'm sure you guys have had this same question by other people that you've worked with.
Yeah, and I can give you.
I'm sure you could provide something that would. We've expressed a concern of how we can be guaranteed a level of service that makes those available to the patrons that we want to have it available to.
Yep.
We would like you to provide us with something in writing that documents that level of that will assure us that level of assurance is there.
We don't have a big legal staff, is what Rob is.
That too.
Yes. Yeah.
That's totally understandable.
I suppose he could just put in either side can terminate at will with a 60-day notice.
Well, I don't think
they want to do that. I understand that.
But that's
at the same time.
Yeah.
If we're happy with their service, we're not terminating. If we're not happy because they don't respond to us, we have the option to terminate. That's one way to do it.
Yeah. You guys,
that's not the only way.
I don't think that would sell because they're getting
They would have a better. I'm sure Scott can come up with something with his people that's a little better than that, that would be more palatable to them.
Yeah,
would provide us our insurance.
Yeah, I can give you an example. we haven't quite gone the path down the path yet of establishing sort of in event of X, Y, and Z happening, then the site host has rights to terminate without penalty. We haven't done that yet, but what I have done in the past with cities that I've worked with is if they want to leave the agreement at will, if they wanted sort of an at-will termination right, what we would do is we would take the total cost of insulation and then amortize that over the period of that 10 years. Yeah. So if they left in year 9, but this is a little bit different than what you're asking for.
Right.
So, but I'll get to that. But if they want to leave in year, to protect us, if they want to leave in year 2, then we're out X amount of thousands of dollars.
Right.
So they pay back the unamortized portion that's straight line depreciated over that the remainder of that 10-year contract. Well, I think what you guys are asking for is a little bit more intelligent because you're saying you would like an option to terminate at will if Rivian doesn't fulfill X, Y, and Z obligation.
Yes,
I think that's reasonable.
Does it, Mike, Commissioner Buchwald, does that accurately reflect your concern? Or
yeah, I think it does. I think it does.
Okay.
Just have to see the wording.
Other questions, guys? Because I'm about to get a consensus here to see if we want to proceed with trying to put together a contract. But let me make sure, Scott, that we've got the question satisfied, because I want to poll the commissioners and see if we want to
where we stand
and whether we want to take the next step.
I don't have any more. He's answered mine.
Okay.
If those could be addressed, I'm happy with it. Sorry.
I'm.
You happy with moving forward, Rob?
Yes.
Yeah. CZ?
Yes.
I want to move
Terry.
Forward.
Don't forget Terry.
I want to move forward under the
Terry.
And Terry gives us the thumbs up. So Scott, you got thumbs up all the way around to take the first step. Actually, this is the second step. What we're going to look at is another pass, and it'll probably be another pass or two, but another pass at the language. We would, at Commissioner Ward's suggestion, we would like you to, I know we danced around a lot of issues, but kind of put something together that addresses what we were talking about. I don't expect that it'll have all the language, but it'll allow us to have a second pass at it, and then we'll see if we need to tweak it. But we would like to proceed with a submission of another contract language, knowing that it may not be the final, but we will try to get as close as we can. And then we'll have another sit down and say, okay, this looks good, but we're a little, we need a little fine tuning in the termination agreement or the, you get my hand waving?
Yeah, I understand that. So would it make sense then for me to go back to my legal team and ask them to come up with some language first? And then send it to you all so you can not only respond to that,
yes,
but also some of the other items that we discussed.
That would be absolutely ideal.
And make sure that whatever they do includes the new location for the charging station.
Because that original, we definitely are not interested in using up those two waterfront locations.
Yep,
because we have a ton of other locations that could be utilized that are not nearly as premium as location.
And that one has the power right there.
Yeah.
Could I ask, maybe y'all know already, but that location that's closest to the entrance where it looks like there's a utility pole and I see a shadow of like a transformer on that utility pole. Do we know, would somebody be able to take pictures of that, or do we know what the KVA is for that transformer?
We can probably make some
calls.
We
can get that for you.
David or Kelly can make some calls to Lincoln PUD and get you the characteristics of that pot.
Yeah, just the load that is on that's on that transformer, just because I want to make sure that there's enough power that we're not going to have to upsize the transformer or any of that work, because that drastically changes the
oh yes And I know level three, that really becomes a factor because they require a
lot of
a lot of current. Yeah, we can get you that, Scott.
Okay.
Anything great. Else for the good of the troops here? No, I think, Scott, we appreciate you answering our questions. I hope the nice lady that brought our original proposal, I hope we weren't too hard on her. We're a bunch of wild horse riders, and we had no clue about charging stations and how long.
Shannon's great.
She's
wonderful.
Well, yeah. I was hoping we weren't too hard on her. I was hoping she said, I'm not going to deal with that. Board commission down there.
Said Bill's here.
No, she's looking forward to re-engaging with you all at the end of this quarter.
Okay. All right, super, Scott. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, we have a few more items on the agenda. Okay, we're going to continue with our agenda. You're welcome to listen and sit in, but I wouldn't advise it. All right,
if you have any questions about EV charging or whether it's level 3, level 2, or any about the e-mobility, please don't hesitate to reach out to me.
All right, Scott, we thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. Rivian, approval of minutes by consent. Everybody has seen the minutes. Anybody have any additions or changes to the minutes?
Absolutely not.
Nope.
Hearing none, approved by unanimous consent. Approval of the financials by consent. Ms. Kelly.
Checks printed in May were $86,980.39. Occupancy on the campground was up 9% from last year, and mortgage was up 1% from last year.
Okay. So how's our camping looking, David? I noticed a lot of campers rolling in today. And
it's going to go down now. Co-host no season is, for the ocean, is starting Saturday, okay. So the 18th.
What is starting Saturday?
Coho. Clip coho season starts Saturday in the ocean.
And you had a bit of a fishing report for me earlier today of somebody fishing off the coast.
Yes, Dad.
Yeah, my dad went out and they caught 3 salmon Chinooks.
Oh my goodness, isn't that something? Okay.
And just to give a little update, with the closing of the Saisla this year, I expected to see a lot more cancellations than, I mean, I can only think of 2 cancellations that we've had so far already. And
I know I've done 2 myself.
Yeah, those are the only ones that I can really think of.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Amy's had a couple.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I expected there to be more. It's the camping will pick up. I don't think we have to worry about a campsite.
Still a desirable place to be.
The moorage at some time may affect us. We won't see that until August and September because right now everybody's still keeping their spots because the ocean conditions are looking good. So. Okay.
We did
have the dredge come.
Oh really?
Friday they came Friday. I think they dredged for. Sunday.
Yaquina.
They dredged for 3 days. They had a regular scheduled maintenance issue, but on their way they stopped. And
are they going to be back?
They will be back.
Because I want to get on that dredge. Rob and I want to get a ride on that dredge.
Yeah.
I've been on it. It's pretty cool.
I know. I haven't been. That'll be cool. Yes. We'll see.
An open house. And they'll do that.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah. Okay. Really? They'll run us out there, put us on the dredge, let us walk around.
Up on it. Yeah. Wow.
That would be cool.
They can pick up 900 yards at a time, and then they take it out in the ocean and go.
I've seen them do it. I've been by them when they're doing it.
So hopefully they'll be right back after they get their maintenance issues taken care of. Huh. And it will help us out with not having a river fishery this year, making sure that our bars, you know, up to par early so people can actually get out and access the salmon since we won't be able to on the river this year.
There'll be more pressure on the ocean, that's for sure.
Anything new on our salvage operation on the Chris Craft? Son of a gun.
You know, we talked to him today, and it should be any day.
It's still floating out there.
They were so anxious for us to make a decision. Yeah. Then we made a decision, and then you. Okay, so they were going to do it this week, but we still haven't.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
They'll give us a day's notice, and they kind of warned us about.
Now, you told them they weren't going to get paid unless they get it done in June, right? No,
but they want us to block everything off out there really good, too.
Okay. What does that mean?
Keep people away.
When they're doing it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, how are they going to do it?
They're going to bring it right up the boat launch.
Ask him first.
Are they
going to
bring it up
first
on the ground? Up on the flat?
They will bring it not up. They will bring it as far as they can.
Ass end or bow?
Out of the water. I would assume bow.
Okay.
Because we saw them do the previous boat. So they'll drag it up as far as they can, get it somewhat dry, but the whole thing will not be out of the water. Okay. They'll remove the fuel tanks and any hazardous materials initially, possibly the motors, and then they'll just deconstruct it with an excavator and haul it away in tubs.
Now, do they just drag it up on the...
Yep.
Will they pay for any damage that's done to the ramp?
Well, hopefully there's nothing...
I mean, you've got props and shafts and rudders.
Well, I'm not sure. They're insured and they're...
Well, you might want to...
Before.
Yeah, but you might... What's their agreement with us?
They're going to remove and dispose of it and be responsible for anything that happens.
And we'll pay them when we're all done.
This is a hazardous material area.
Let's hold back and pay.
We'll pay them when they're done.
We have to pay them up front.
We haven't paid anybody yet. So.
Okay, but we don't pay them until they're done.
Okay, it's $10 a seat up on my deck.
I would assume.
For the very best view.
And that's fine as long as you provide drinks.
Yeah, I was going to say, what quality of whiskey and wine do you provide?
Terry, I'm sorry.
I have a question. I really do think, guys, this guy needs to be nailed down to figure out, is this a time and materials bid? Is it a lump sum bid? The way it's set up now, he's going to charge us whatever he wants when he's done with the job.
The estimate that he gave us was 20, could be possibly 25.
Did he give a not to exceed?
Not to exceed 25,000.
He gave a not to exceed, right? Okay.
Yes.
I think that's pretty...
How would you word it? Well, I'm willing to work with David on the language, Terry.
Have we signed anything?
No, nothing's been signed.
Well,
are they going to provide us with something? Or is it just kind of a handshake?
They're just going to show up.
That's what I'm saying. It's too vague.
All right.
Watch. He could have his equipment sitting there while they're removing the fuel tanks, doing all the other stuff. We're going to be paying for that equipment to set there.
Boy, this is awfully late in the game to get
He quoted us $20,000 to not exceed $25,000. They've done work for the port before. I mean, this is
So it's a $25,000 bill, Terry. We know that.
I don't think it will be.
Okay.
I mean, I would be shocked if it is, but it could be up to $25,000.
Well, if Terry has some language, you guys can work on something.
I just think it's in our best interest to make sure that you're firm on that. No, it's $20,000 unless you feel that something went wrong and you can prove it went wrong.
Okay, yes, you're right, Terry, and I will address that tomorrow.
Okay, good.
I will.
Yeah.
You know, just because he says, I want to charge $25, tell me what went wrong from the $20 to $25.
Okay.
You know, he's done this before.
That's why you're in the construction business, Terry. Yeah, David says he's going to get some language. Yeah, still something over his signature.
All we have is a proposal from them, an estimate. We don't have a signed contract because...
Terry, are you available tomorrow or next day for David just to confer with you on that? Because
he can give me a call anytime tomorrow.
Okay, all right. I'm confident to have David and Terry work out some language.
This is the only hazmat crew that we know of that's available to do this.
I know that, but I like Terry's idea of at least having something he's signed and where he's accountable to. I want you and David to work something out that you're both comfortable with.
I talked to the guy and I asked him if he wanted rubber tracks or not, and he did not know enough to tell me yes or no. So it scares me. When you come in there with steel traps, there's going to be damage.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to ask Dave the last time it was done, did they put matting down? And none of us were there to witness it.
No, I was. They didn't put any matting down. They just brought in an excavator without rubber skids on it. It was a big excavator.
Steel excavator.
What? And I remember there being some marks on the asphalt and the ramp itself.
Well, you turn one of those steel excavators on asphalt, you're gonna rip it up, aren't you, Terry?
They were very careful, but...
Okay, then
we have to be very careful, but I think you ought to require it, although we're going to pay for it. You know, there's no reason they can't put down rubber tires or something, David.
Okay.
Okay, that's why we're... Okay. Absolutely, Terry, I agree. Anything, Terry?
He's muted.
Oh, Terry went muted? No. Okay, well, Terry, work on some language with David. I like your points you're raising. Okay?
Okay, I will.
Okay.
I guess my concern would be that they should be if they do significant damage to our ramp, that they're responsible for any damage.
Or the road approach. Yeah,
the upland.
I think that's pretty much... Anybody would be.
Yeah, but it needs to be in the language.
Well, just make sure they know about it somehow.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah,
or acknowledged.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't want them to say. Walking. Well, now we. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand, but that's what Terry's suggesting is totally reasonable. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, they probably...
The guy's done this before, he must have kind of an agreement.
And if he finds that unreasonable, then we better find another solution.
Say, Terry, what did you and David ever look at the...
We did not.
Over there where the bulkhead? I had to think a minute about what I was talking
about.
That's
my fault, I never made it down there.
And
well, I had an email with Jack, and he's under the impression that we may hold off on doing that right now because this whole thing may be expedited, like within 6 months or so. So to not worry about the repair immediately.
Oh, okay.
But he's supposed to have a meeting Friday, I believe, with FEMA or OEM. I can't remember which one.
Okay.
And we should find out some more information by then. But he's acting like they are expediting this, but
okay.
That's not for sure.
I guess my comment would be, Jack needs to be aware that we're concerned about going through another winter without a significant expansion in the problem that we have.
Yeah, I think once we get closer to finding out when the actual timeline's going to be, then, you know, we can go from there. I don't know that it's going to go anywhere else, but...
Well, if we get into fall and it looks like they're not going to get through it till next spring, I think it would behoove us to do something this winter.
Jesus, we're going to be in the fall in 3 months. Three and a half months we'll be in the fall.
Well, in the winter. I'm concerned about the winter.
Well, I am too, and I...
Well, with this strange weather, no matter what we're going to be dealing with. But
let's get together and look at that for sure, Terry, and see what you think as far as maybe a temporary if this doesn't work out this year.
Did you ask Jack about doing a temporary?
I kind of did, and he said to hold off for now. He wasn't under the impression that it was moving much more. All I've been able to do is send him pictures.
Okay.
But I'm trying to ask him to come down at this point. So
he thinks...
With your pictures, can you document the soil loss?
I can, I think.
Visible.
Yeah, I've taken a lot of pictures.
So he's meeting with FEMA this Friday.
Friday.
So we should have... He should be able to tell us something next week.
Yeah.
Then I would appreciate it if you'd let us know what he said.
I will.
Okay, as soon as as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Because what we talked about last time, a temporary fix is if it's not going to move fast, then we should be doing that. We decided
we
were going to do that last meeting.
Yeah.
So
I think we should have an answer this next week.
Okay. I was trying to get something more.
No, I know you were, but even. He's not always.
It's hard to pin Jack down.
Yeah, it's hard to do a lot of things.
He's working with a lot of other agencies that are involved in this, not only FEMA. You know, there's the Oregon Emergency Management. There's a few. But it is moving forward. That's okay. All I can tell you.
But I like Mike's idea. Let's get an update.
Yep.
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 Anything more to come before the commission? If not, then this meeting is adjourned. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, guys.
See you later,
Terry.
Terry.
Boy, Bill, you set a record.
That's all right.